Chapter 16, verse 13. And for those of you who are not quite as quick on the sword drills from your Awana days as you may have been, it'll also be on the screen here as well. As the pastor in my church always said every Sunday when he read scripture, hear now the words of God, for they will be the most important words you shall hear from me today. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Keep a thumb in that verse. We'll be revisiting it a few times as we go on the journey that God has been leading us to this morning. This passage tells us a whole lot about our relationship to the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit interacts with us, how it connects with us, what our relationship to the Holy Spirit looks like, what forms of communication and exchange that we have with God's presence on earth. But specifically, this passage tells us how much of a communicator the Holy Spirit will be in our lives, how much he will share particularly with us personally as a group of fellow believers, and in terms of God's specific plan. Now today, nowadays, we look for guidance a lot. We really, really have a deep love for what I like to call solicited advice. Once again, in terms of things like mortgages, taxes, loans, real estate, careers, relationships, we are constantly looking for people who know more about it than we do to impart the wisdom that they have learned and earned through their years to make our lives a little bit easier, a little bit more fluid, a little more fluent. And it made me think how willing we are in our North American culture to pay for good advice, to pay for sound and well-formed advice. And I started to think of some careers that come to mind that people and businesses tend to pay for. The first one that comes to mind, or before we get to that, just one last thought, because once again, we want someone who is learned and educated in that, who has experience before we take their advice seriously. If we gave a tradesman a hammer and a picture of a finished house, we wouldn't necessarily trust him to complete that job unless he'd had the preparation and the years of experience to be able to give the benefit of his wisdom into building that house. So yes, we're going to take a look at a few different careers here, which once again, we tend to shop through for solicited advice. The first is a spiritual director. How many of you are aware or have maybe had experience with a spiritual director? Anyone? I got the benefit of being in a relationship with a spiritual director as a part of my master's degree. It was a requirement of one of the courses that we meet with a spiritual director on a regular basis. Now, what a spiritual director is basically someone who is there for you in a one-on-one or small group setting, who it is their job to help direct you to grow in your relationship with God. Someone who is there to help you expand on your understanding of who God is and what that relationship looks like. Some of the most profound revelations I've had in terms of my understanding of who God is was in a spiritual director setting, where once again, someone is prompting me to think outside the box of my own understanding. Now, generally for a spiritual director, you are looking at approximately $50 an hour. Once again, for me, I got the benefit of receiving all of that for free. But there are a number of different, once again, degrees that are even specifically geared to spiritual direction. A good friend of mine, she is on the forefront of educating the next generation of spiritual directors. So if you'd be ever interested in seeing what that's like, I can definitely put you in the contact of someone who would love to help you walk through some of your own understandings of God. The second career that comes to mind is a lawyer. Now, a lawyer can be anywhere in terms of a cost, depending on what type of law, what type of issue, what type of practice that they have. But it's not uncommon, especially within the corporate world, to be paying upward of $1,000 an hour for a lawyer. especially when you're talking about in terms of big businesses and organizations. Once again, a lawyer has knowledge and insight into how the law works, how to work through the law to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. And they generally can do things that normal people can't. They have access to certain resources, certain knowledge, and certain processes to help you get done what you want to get done. The third one is a life coach. Life coaches are, I think, a little more popular in the American culture than the Canadian. But a life coach is designed to help you basically in everything in your life. It could be specifically in terms of relationships, could be career choices, it could be in terms of just overcoming some general counseling issues. But they tend to look at every aspect of your life and keep a regular accountability through the week and through the month. Generally, how a life coach will work is there'll be, say, a fee for the month, which will include X number of phone calls throughout a week's time and X number of face-to-face meetings during that month, which is not uncommon for a life coach to pay $300 an hour. And the final one that I want to focus on is one that I find to be the most intriguing of all, which is a consultant. A consultant is an expert who is brought into an organization, a structure, or a system to give the leaders advice and instructions on how to navigate whatever is going on, whether it's creating a new business formula, creating a new strategy, going through departmental analysis, maybe doing doing reviews or any number of different things. Consultants tend to be brought in and they are given almost carte blanche to give any insight that they can. And especially when you get into Fortune 500 companies, these consultants make thousands upon thousands of dollars an hour. I read some statistics that depending on your size of company, a strategy formulation, so creating a strategy on how to further penetrate the market sector that you are looking at, depending on your size of company, could be worth $150,000. That's how much a consulting firm would make for that. If they were brought in to do a departmental diagnosis, figure out why a department is not working efficient in a larger company, could be $250,000. And these larger companies are completely willing to pay for this advice because the advice will help them function at a greater capacity and in those businesses increase their profit margins. We're interested in paying for professionals left, right, and center when it comes to helping us do a job well. But sometimes we don't put the same type of investment within our own spiritual development, within the cultivating of our own heart, within looking at our own soul. I think sometimes unconsciously we think, okay, we go to church, we listen to Graham on a regular basis, we go to our small group, and we go through our Bible study, we read our Bible and do our praying. And sometimes we think, that seems like I'm doing enough. It seems like I'm doing a lot. But within any thing that you want to make better, you have to take a very serious and dedicated investment into it to really see drastic change. I know, once again, in terms of working out and getting in shape, if you want to get from point A to point B, the farther those two points are away, the more work it's going to take. And in that sense, with our own spirituality, being called to constantly work harder than we did the day before, to seek Jesus more wholly than we did the day before, where we are and where we want to be should always be very far apart. We should always have a lot of work on our mind of how we can work to grow, of what we're going to do to grow, of how we're going to grow, and who's going to be involved in that process. Now, the reality is, in that scripture that we looked at, we actually get all of these aspects of the Holy Spirit. We actually get all of those careers that I just mentioned within the Holy Spirit in terms of how God is looking to speak to us. We have an immense investment of guidance from God through the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, even Scripture describes it in a lot of different ways throughout the entire Bible about what type of relationship we have to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being a person, the Holy Spirit being an inkling within our souls, the Holy Spirit being a vocal voice that we hear. We're going to take back a look at that verse, and we're going to start looking at the different ways in which the Holy Spirit fills different careers within our own lives. The first section of the passage said that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit in our lives is meant to be a counselor, a one-on-one relationship where the Holy Spirit is working to lead us from an understanding to a greater understanding. That the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us through a process of renewing our mind and learning something that we didn't already know about ourselves and the relationships that we have around us. The Holy Spirit is meant to be an aspect of God that we can turn to and share our concerns, our worries, our fears with. And we will see that as God's expression of himself within this world. The Holy Spirit is sitting there ready with pad and paper to listen and speak back to us, to help us come to a greater understanding of what is true. The Holy Spirit is a communicator, as this passage says, but will tell you the things that he has heard. He is bringing us specific ideas, specific truths, and specific callings from God the Father to us within our lives. He's a communicator sharing with us things that we actually need to know to be able to follow God more completely and clearly within our lives. The Holy Spirit is a leader. It says, he will tell you what he has received from me. The Holy Spirit is trying to set our mission and our vision for who we are to be as individuals in Christ, trying to help us come to a place where we see, having heard what God has asked of us, what God is looking for us to do. The Holy Spirit is trying to give us instructions and trying to give us direction on where God wants us to be within the lives that we're living. And finally, the Holy Spirit is a consultant. He is looking to tell us about the future, tell us about things that we have no capacity to understand on our own. The Holy Spirit is looking to share with us hints and truths about the relationships that we have, the people that we know. And we see this even within the life of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would tell Jesus things about people that Jesus did not already know. Any type of instance that you've had in your life where you've just spoken the right word and spoken truth over someone that they needed to hear without realizing it, that is the Holy Spirit working through you, trying to change the future of the lives of the people that you meet. But the reality is, in our lives, we don't always want the Holy Spirit's help. Now, you may be thinking, yes, I do. I do want the Holy Spirit's help, honestly and earnestly. I love Jesus, I love God, and these are the ways that I try to show it in my life. But if we made a little pro-con list on how well we're following Jesus, if we looked at the actions, at how much of the wheel we get the Holy Spirit get a hand on, the truth is our actions show quite differently of how much of a priority and how much of an importance we think the Holy Spirit has within our own lives. Anytime we look at our actions and we've ignored, we've disobeyed, or wavered from what God is trying to show us, that's an instance where we are turning away from the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Any moment, any time, where you have felt God telling you something and you have backed off saying, I can't, is a moment in which God has been trying to work through the Holy Spirit in your life. I mean, even that little voice inside that I know for me sometimes speaks wisdom that I was like, oh man, that was smart, is the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart, trying to bring me to a point where I show Jesus more in my actions. So if we boiled it down, why is it so uncomfortable to follow the Holy Spirit? And I tried to boil that down to a sentence, and there's one sentence that came to mind. And that's that the Spirit leads us to uncomfortable places. By truly following the Spirit, by truly following God's leading, we will go to places that may not be very fun, that we really wouldn't like to go to. as we look in Scripture, it is full of instances where the Holy Spirit has led people to places that they would not have thought, you know where I'd like to go today? I'd like to go over there. The first instance that's really clear in my mind is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and nights, he fasted and became very hungry. Talk about the worst way to spend your Saturday. The Holy Spirit has led Jesus away from his entire experience of humanity to be alone, to be tempted face to face by the devil, and sometimes it feels like just as bad to be really hungry. He has taken away every comfort, every sense of familiarity, and Jesus has come to a place by following the Spirit that he is confronted with temptation. Now Jesus, once again, being filled of the Holy Spirit, listening to the inkling that God had on his heart, accomplished what none of us could have ever done, and did not sin, did not succumb to the temptation. Second passage I want to look at is in John chapter 4, 4. The Holy Spirit leads where culture says, don't go. It says, so he left Judea and returned through Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Now this is the passage that leads us up to the story of the woman in the well, which once again, Jesus is being led by the Spirit into a place that most Jews would not darken the doorway of, that most Jews would instruct each other, go away from. I've heard a few people mention it in the past couple weeks, Graham's sermon of the Good Samaritan. I think three times this week people have quoted that sermon in their conversations. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's fantastic. But talking about the relationship between the Samaritan and the Jew and how they were so completely opposite with such an animosity between them. Yet the Spirit is leading Jesus straight into the heart of their home. The Spirit leads us geographically, places where there is a great need for the love of God. And that sometimes is a very vulnerable place to go. It's a very exposing place for us to go. But in each and every one of our lives, that's one of the places that the Holy Spirit is leading. Matthew 28, verse 19 is an excerpt from the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in his leading leads us to evangelize, leads us to share the truth of Jesus Christ, leads us to tell our story and our relationship with God to those who do not currently have that. Now, for some of us, that is the most vulnerable and uncomfortable position we can be in. And I think each and every one of us started in that, even the greatest of evangelists. And I'll let you fill in the blank on who you think that is. Came from a place of struggling with sharing the truth of who Jesus is. But that's a muscle we can train and work out. It's a muscle we can strengthen. God's great commission for us in our relationship with the Spirit is to share Jesus with those who don't really know who he is or maybe just have the wrong picture of who he is. And finally, one last verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Just like as we mentioned in Matthew 4:1, following the leading of the Spirit will bring us into a position of adversity with the devil, with someone who wants us to fail, with someone who wants us to drift away from God. And in that sense, we will face temptation, but it's through strength and faithfulness in God. And I remember thinking to myself once, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. I thought, does God really always provide a way out? Like, is he that active within our lives? And then I realized, I was looking across my bedroom as I was thinking that. I was like 13 at the time. And I saw my door. And I'm like, well, there's the answer right there. God always provides a door in every room that we are, that if we are finding ourselves overcome with temptation, get out. Stand up and walk out of that room and go to a place where that temptation is not there. Now, we've all gotten advice before. We've all sought advice, solicited advice, the good type of advice. But sometimes we get advice that we don't always want. Sometimes we get advice and we just think, no, I got this. I can figure this out on my own. We thought, what's the worst thing that can happen? What's really that bad that's going to happen? But the reality is there's a lot of consequences of not listening. There's a lot of things within our relationship that changes. Feel free to throw up that next slide as I go through these next couple points. The truth is that when we do not listen, we go deaf. We go spiritually deaf within our lives. We stop hearing God's voice within what he's trying to tell us. The more we don't listen, the less likely we are to hear what God is trying to tell us. And if we're not hearing what God is trying to tell us, we're not recognizing the way in which God is working around us. We don't see what he is trying to prompt us to recognize, which could be an opportunity to share Jesus, could be an opportunity to speak truth into someone's life, or it could be as simple as an opportunity to show love to someone. And if we're losing our ability to hear God, if we're not seeing the way he's working, we are going to be missing opportunities left, right, and center. Imagine trying to play a game of baseball with a set of diving goggles on. If you've never gone scuba diving, go like this. This is about the visibility that you have. So unless it's right here, you're done. We don't want to be running around in our spiritual lives wearing a scuba mask and snorkel. We want to be aware of what God is trying to do. Because there are actually, once again, as we go back to that verse, a number of different things that God is trying to do for us. God is trying to guide us into all truth. Now, what is all truth? All truth is everything. Truth about who we are. Truth about the value of the relationships around us. Truth about who Jesus of Nazareth was. Truth about who God the Father is. And truth about his love and how relevant and important it is in the lives around us. When we follow the Spirit, God is going to show us his mission. He will show us the grand plan that he has that includes each and every one of us within it. Even if you are listening this morning or you are on a computer somewhere and you don't have a personal relationship through Jesus Christ with God, God still has a plan for you. He has something that includes who you are. And he's willing to share that with you whenever you're ready. God's mission is general. I mean, we know it through the Great Commandment, Great Commission, but he has specific things in mind for each and every one of us. We have to be ready to listen so we know what we've been designed to help accomplish. And by following the Spirit, we will know how things end. The passage specifically says about the future. Well, that talks about Christ's return. That talks about God's total and utter victory over death and evil and sin. God is trying to give us insight into the events that will happen that have not happened yet in terms of the condition of our soul and his ultimate love covering the world just like it was always intended to. As we look to follow the Spirit in our own lives, we're going to teach and live what the Spirit has taught us. And when we do follow the Spirit, we will be seen as wise. In John chapter 7 and 15 verse 16, because we know the truth and it's evident to those people around us. There's a story I tell once in a while of a speaker at Pitch a number of years ago. He went golfing, and there was three people who came up behind him in golf carts, and he was walking his 18 holes, and they wanted to play through, and they said, "Well, just join us." And he says, "I was having the worst golfing day of my life. Like, if I threw it, it wouldn't have gone straight. Like, everything slicing off here." He's like, "I'm losing $6 golf balls everywhere." But it's kind of like, oh, man, oh, whatever. And one of the other guys, he had like one bad slice and lost it. Just like. And they get back to the clubhouse at the end of the 18 holes, and he's saying goodbye. And the ladies, one of the ladies in the threesome who he joined, just said, I gotta ask you, are you a Christian? And he's like, "Well, yeah, I am." And the other lady standing back in the golf cart jumps up, throws her hat down, and she goes, "I knew it!" And he's like, "Okay, that was really, really weird." But even she, not having any faith, not having any religious background, recognized something different within the way he lived his life. That even playing golf, she could tell he was different. And as we follow the Spirit, people will recognize that there is something different in us. As we follow the Spirit, we seek God's heart, we will, in all honesty, we will find ourselves sinning less. We won't be free of sin. It's not like we won't ever sin. But we will start seeing victories in our life over struggles that we have. The Bible says, if anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit, there's two important words within it that play into every single one of our lives. The first is a willingness. You have to be willing to listen before you can hear what is being said. And that willingness takes a level of submission on your part. That willingness takes setting aside of some time quietly within your study just to hear from God. To say, "God, I'm ready to hear what you have to say to me," and shut up after that. And just sit in silence. And wait for the Spirit to reveal something to you. And once we have been faced with what God is trying to show us, once we realize where God is leading us, the question and decision is then in our hearts of what do I do from here? Do I follow how God is telling me to talk to my coworker about what I believe? Do I follow God and invite that friend out to the service or youth group next Friday night? Or just for one more, maybe age-appropriate one, do I invite that friend to hymn sing next Thursday at Joy Group? God wants you to be a part of the process, and he's aching for your willingness. So what would it take for us individually? What would it take for us to follow the Spirit's guidance? The first thing I'm going to say is that we need to learn to lead from our strengths less. Now you may be thinking that sounds strange to me. But I know in my life the things that I trust God the least with are the things that I am most capable of. And I enjoy in my personality that I'm a capable person, that I can accomplish a wide variety of tasks and things within my life. But if we really want to see the Holy Spirit work in everything, we need to give him everything. We need to turn everything over to God and invite God to be a part of the process of everything that we do. By turning everything over to God, we give him the easiest time to work through us. And in that sense, if you're doing something for the umpteenth time, something that you find full confidence in doing, whether it's playing music on a team, or talking to your coworker, or inviting someone to church, keep praying for God to do great things through your willingness. In following the Spirit, the changes in our lives will be evident. The Holy Spirit is ready to show us immeasurable things as soon as we are ready and willing to hear it. Hebrews chapter 5 said, "Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. By including the Holy Spirit, by giving God freedom to speak and listen, we have moved from milk to solid foods. By inviting God to be a part of the process of everything that we say and do, and listening to how He's moving in response, we will recognize the truth of what is right and what is wrong. And through us, God will do amazing things for the kingdom. You may be sitting at a point where you are one of two minds or others. The first is that you realize that there's a lot of things you need to start handing over to God. That you need to start giving Him more freedom in all areas. Or the second is that you realize that there is maybe one thing that you are holding on to and you are clinging on to dear life, not letting God get His hands on it. Maybe there is something that you're struggling with, a sin that you have, a relationship that is not in love, that you're willing to let God do whatever He wants with anything, except that. My hope and prayer for you is that you eventually give it to God. But first you bring a brother or sister alongside with you. Because sometimes, as strange as this is, it's easier for us to talk to someone who we can see versus someone that we can't. Through this week, let your prayer every day be, God, through your Spirit, speak to me and let me hear it. Let's pray. Father God, you have done immeasurably more things than we are even aware of. You have moved and protected us and guided us in ways that we are completely unaware of. And Lord, there have been times where we have held back, giving over to you what you are owed. We have held back our willingness, may it be out of fear, out of doubt, out of insecurities. But God, let us be more willing. Knock down the walls in our hearts. Wrestle from our hands the things that we won't let go of. Because, Lord, each and every one of us want to know who you are better. We want to draw strength from you in every corner of our lives. God, this week, help us. God, help us recognize your help. These things we pray. Amen. Go this week and give to God uninterrupted, unhindered freedom within everything that you do.